Hey, church, thank you so very much for being here with us today. One church hearing the same message in four locations. Here I am at our North Braddock campus right now. It's Vision Sunday, so you know what that means. Vision Sunday is all about getting your vision tested. I don't know if you've ever gotten your vision tested, but we have to look at that chart, and then it goes through a series of better, worse, better, worse. How many of y'all get irritated with the better, worse deal? But the reason we do that is because we all need our vision checked, I mean, at least once a year. And this is our chance to take a look at our vision. Recently, playing tennis, I had this situation happen. I was playing at the net. I was playing with people much faster and much younger than I am. And what happened was they hit the ball pretty fast at me, and I took a shot right in the face, and it hit my glasses. So immediately, everybody ran over to me. They said, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And of course, you know what I said. Yes, I'm just fine. Even though I couldn't really see out of my right eye, and my glasses were all crooked and all messed up. And I said, are you okay? Do you need to sit down? I says, no, I don't. I just kept right on going. But what I needed to do was my eye needed to readjust, and my glasses were off. They were crooked, and so they just didn't see quite right. But once I got my glasses lined up properly and I got my vision back, I was okay. This is what happens with all of us. We all take shots to the face at times. And life has this. We all take a shot, it hits us, and if we're not careful, it knocks our vision off. But we have to go back and make sure that our vision is correct, and that's what today is all about. Hey, if you're a member here, or if a guest, if we have you on our mailing, you should have received our annual report in the mail. If you didn't receive this, anybody can get this today at your location in your campus, because listen, we want to brag about how great God is. This is all about the greatness of God, about His faithfulness. We have nothing to hide. We have an open book test. And so I want to take some time to review, are we accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish for His church? That's right. Are we accomplishing what Jesus wants us to do? Because we're not going to be evaluated on what we say we want to do. We're evaluated on what we actually do. Nobody goes to Chick-fil-A and complains about their cheeseburgers. Why? Because they don't serve that. They do chicken. That's why we go there. Okay? Consistent and great. That's why we go there. And so that's what we're going to take a look at. Why do we exist as a church? We exist so that as many people as possible, that's right, as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So if that's why we say we exist, we should have a way to evaluate that. How do we accomplish that? We accomplish that here at Bridge City Church in a simple way. We accomplish that by gather to grow. Every gathering we have is a growth opportunity. We give of ourselves and we go into our world with Spirit-led lives. That's right, for the glory of God. And so that's why we do this. So we evaluate these things. We want to evaluate these numbers, and that's what this annual report is all about. I'm not going to read you the report today, but there's some key things that have happened over this past year that are really, really super cool. And I think that we should celebrate together here. First of all, our regular tithes and offerings from all, this is accumulative from all of our locations here, we are up 12.7% from 2022 to 2023. That is worth celebrating. Come on, that really, really is. Now, that is a sign of this. Now, this is what this is a sign of. It's a sign that more people are becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Because as I learn to follow Him, I learn to give of myself. And the more that a generous God in heaven becomes a generous God inside of me, the more we become generous, sacrificial, and faithful, and consistent on a regular basis. So most of all, on behalf of all of our pastors and all of our elders, elders and all of our leaders, I just want to say thank you. It's because of you that the ministry that Jesus began 2,000 years ago continues at Bridge City Church. Way to go here. Let's look at another couple other things. How about salvations? In our terminology, we say crossing the bridge from death to life here. That's right, beginning a relationship. Listen, 2022, we had 73 people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2023, catch this, 142. That's a huge, huge, big difference. That means that the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven is getting bigger and there's more names being written in there. That is huge. And baptisms went from 36 in 2022 up to 66 in 2023. Awesome, way to go. More people identifying as followers of Jesus. On behalf of all of our pastors, and you're going to be hearing from them in just a little bit here, we want to see these numbers grow because people are important. Our church is not based on a bunch of superstars on the platform, but it's based on a supernatural ministry that happens through each and every person in our church. We're going to be judged according to the way that people use their gifts, people use what God has given them, they're trained up, equipped, and released to be who they are in Christ. That's what matters. And a lot of people say, well, numbers, they don't really matter. You're just getting too focused on the numbers. Well, let me just tell you this. Natalie and I, we have 5 kids, and our family's actually growing. When I took those 5 kids out when they were younger, and when I came home, Natalie wanted to know, did I bring home the same 5 home that I took with me? Numbers do matter. It's just a matter of the relationship we have to the numbers. Numbers represent things, and we shouldn't be afraid to evaluate things in the body of Christ here. Well, let's look at one that maybe hasn't increased as it should. The number of groups that we have. And I'm going to be covering this in just a little bit, but we want to see more groups, more connection groups, so that more people can get cared for. But let's look at it. Let's look at another number that continues to increase: the amount of money that we give away. That's right. The amount of money in missions that we give away is very significant, and we continue to give away over 10% of what is coming in. That's right. In this past year, in 2023, we have given away over $240,000 to missions all over the world. Come on, let's give God a great big hand with that. That is huge. That is awesome. Way to go. That's right. We're affecting ministries in Pittsburgh. We're affecting ministries in our country, but also all over the world. Schools are being started. Training schools that are sustainable and reproducible. That's right. We're also helping with education in many different countries as well, helping kids get an education. Okay, one more here. Our One Vision campaign. We're actually entering our last year of this campaign. It's really, really huge. And what we have is people have been committed to giving over and above their regular tithes and offerings. They're giving to the One Vision campaign, which is predominantly for facilities, improving facilities, and also building in land acquisitions as we need them in some of our campuses. We are presently at the end of the year here, the report is 55% of our goal has been reached. Well, we're a little behind in that percentage, but I believe that together we can take big strides and we're going to make up some lost ground. Why? Because at our White Oak campus, we're at the point right now because they're growing so much that we need a building or land acquisition right now. And so we're preparing for that as well as at our North Braddock campus, that they're doing something very significant, and we're planning out and processing how to create better and more efficient kids ministry space. These are some of the things that we're doing. So I want to thank you for those who have given, but also say that we're going to continue to move forward in these areas with the One Vision campaign. That's what we're doing here. And I'm just celebrating everything that God has done and what God continues to do with the vision that He has given us. One more thing I just want to say about something that's coming up this next year in our vision. I want to use it in this portion here. On August 4th of this year, what we're going to be doing is this. We're going to be having a unified church worship time on Sunday morning at Highmark Stadium down on the south side. This is going to be more than only Bridge City Church. We presently have 12 churches committed to this, and I'm believing there's going to be a few more. That's right, we're going to fill that stadium with kids and students and people just like you and me, and we're going to worship God together. And all of these churches are going to do something significant. That's right, get together on a Sunday morning, not only a Sunday night or a different time, which is all great. And I'm all for it, but what would happen and what could God do if we unite our hearts, not only with other churches in Pittsburgh, but we continue to unite our hearts and continue to unite our resources and all we have for Him in this next year. Hey, at this time, what we're going to take a look, we have the opportunity to hear from members and from people who regularly attend our church and what they experienced in 2023. Let's take a look.
April 13th, 2023, I got shot. And I was in real bad shape. And Pastor Nick came and visited me. He brought me a new Bible. And in the Bible, it had these index cards. And they were all notes from all the guys in Connection Group that really made me feel like I belonged, you know, to the church.
Last year, I lost my husband that I love. It is not an easy road for me. My heart broke into pieces. There is no words can describe how I felt. Connection Group helped me to go through my trials and build my faith deeper, closer to Jesus.
In the past year, I walked into some of the toughest seasons, the most uncertain seasons and storms of my life, and just being surrounded by the other women in Bridge City just reminded me of God's love and comfort and being able to feel that through their presence.
I went out to California, Southern California, for a job. I started feeling weird, like pains and aches. I called my wife and was telling her, and she was telling me that I was basically describing a heart attack. The thing that really struck me was the amount of people, first of all, that changed their whole world around for me, that were able to watch our family, our sons and daughter, that were taking care of things for us while I was gone, while my wife was out there with me. The incredible amount of people that said they were praying for me.
I was in a place of really deep isolation, looking back on it now and understanding that it was rooted in rejection, worthlessness, and even fear. I started attending Sunday services less and less, and that was my goal.
We were struggling emotionally and spiritually, so my wife and I attended a worship prophetic night. We went up and got prayer from two people from our own Brighton Heights campus. God gave us the word that we needed to hear, and He met us. We decided it was time to start saying yes. Yes to everything. Yes to connection groups, yes to worship nights, yes to serving, and yes to getting involved. This has radically changed our lives. Our marriage is stronger, our family seeks after God together, and we overall just have a spiritual guidance that has really helped us.
I attended my first Victory and Freedom. I was looking for more fellowship, and that's one thing I found was fellowship with other men in a church. And it allowed me to address things that were separating me from God and separating me from my goals in my journey in faith.
Before I even joined the church, I was part of a connection group that I was invited to. As an introvert, sometimes it's hard for me to get started and to participate. But when I joined a group, I felt really safe I felt like I could be myself. I could let my guard down and share things that I might not normally share.
A lot has transformed in my life. We met with Pastor Gary prior to us getting married quite a few times, and he encouraged us that we should make a covenant with each other. Hodge and I took a vow with each other and we got married.
I went on the Pittsburgh mission trip in 2023. During the trip, I not only grew my relationship with people, but I also grew my relationship with God. One of my favorite parts was when I would pray for somebody and I'd close my eyes, and right when I'd look up, I'd see them crying and smiling at the same time. And it made me so happy to know that God touched them and that God was with me all along.
I have grown in my faith so much since attending here. I have become stronger in my spiritual giftings, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that this church gives to become equipped and to grow in my walk with Jesus.
So in the past year, I went from sliding into the back, sitting by myself, to really just joining the body and joining leadership opportunities. I've been told plenty of times how important it is to just show up and let God take care of the rest. And for as many times as I've put that to the test, He's never failed.
One of the first things that I did when I got back was to go to the outdoor experience at the amphitheater in Monroeville. And, you know, just the amount of people that I hadn't seen for so long coming up to me and hugging me and telling me that they were praying for me. And, you know, it was overwhelming.
I decided to get baptized because I always knew Jesus as my Savior, but I never made the commitment of making Him Lord in my life.
Bridge City Church really encouraged us to take our next steps in our faith by us getting baptized together at the outdoor worship experience.
I decided to get baptized at the New Year's Eve worship experience because of the transformation that God has had in my life, as well as the people He's put around me. From the support that I receive, the love that I receive, to just the guidance and the knowledge, I can't thank Him enough for everything that He's done so far in my life.
I got baptized on New Year's Eve. When I came out of the water, literally felt like a brand new person.
God provided me the help that I need, and I found that here in our church, Bridge City Church.
Let's give God a great big hand for all that He did in people's lives in 2023. Way to go, church, and way to go, leaders. So, so excited. Well, hey, in this time, I get a chance to help us get focused forward and what does God want to do in 2024 and beyond here. So I'm going to launch out of Matthew chapter 9, 35. Here we go. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. So here we have Jesus going through each and every town, towns like Brighton Heights, North Braddock, Murraysville, White Oak, and every community around. He's going through the towns, He's going through the villages, and He's healing people. So at first glance, it looks like things are pretty good. What does Jesus possibly need at this point? People are getting healed. They're hearing the good news. He's teaching, and what a teacher He is. It looks like everything is okay here. But something began to happen here. In the midst of the three things that Jesus was doing, let's look at these three things. He was teaching in the synagogue. Yeah, He was preaching the good news, was predominantly outside of the synagogue, announcing the kingdom of God. So there was a church teaching, getting better there, training, but there was a preaching of the kingdom of God there, but also healing people as well. Healing, restoring people. And we're going to get into that definition of just a little bit here. But something happened in verse 36, when He saw the crowds. Yeah, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. like sheep without a shepherd. That's what they were. And if there was ever a time in our world, never a time in our lives, where this is a real definition of where people are right now. They're confused and they're helpless and they're harried and harassed. And I think what God's asking us to do going into this year, our vision forward, is continue to use every resource we have for those that are confused and helpless and need help. But when he saw, that literally means when he looked upon, when he experienced, when he perceived, discerned, he was aware of something. And if anybody was more like this, I don't know who it could be, but in Jesus' church, it's easy to get nearsighted. It's really interesting. In all the medical profession, most everything, you're defined by what you're not good at or you don't have. But when it comes to your vision, when you say you're nearsighted, it's defining what you're good at. That means you can see near. We see what's right in front of us. I can see here, but we have problems looking out. And Jesus was not only concerned with his followers, but he was concerned with those who were harried and helpless and harassed. Yeah. And so we have to be careful that we don't just bypass other people and people in their real state of where they are. And we have to ask Jesus, if we lack compassion, we have to ask Jesus, once again, burn your compassion into me. Why? Because I believe that Jesus only sees two types of people. And I'm going to use the words he used. There's lost and found, dead and alive, hellbound, heavenbound. And if once you believe that, and if we really believe that heaven and hell are real places, that is a game changer in how we see and what we do. I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not that person. I'm not outgoing. We got you covered. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Because we're not asking you to go be something that you're not, just that we would care for those people around us. Because I can't change the whole world, but we can do something about our part in the world, our piece of the world. I can do that much, but we will never care about that which we do not see. Well, I'm going to have Ashley come forward here, and I want to use an illustration here. Like, see, it's just a matter of seeing a somebody. It's a matter of seeing somebody. So come all the way up here. Come all the way up here. Come on, let's give her a big hand. And Ashley's a part of our, she's our office administrator. She attends White Oaks. She's led group. Thanks so much for volunteering to help me out with our Vision Sunday here. So there's an interesting statistic that I came across. I was reading an article recently, and it stated that 62% of our population are eligible to give blood. I give blood regularly, as soon as it's time, religiously over the years. It's just something that I do. But the surprising statistic that only 3% of that 62% actually do it. Well, why? There's a lot of reasons why. I don't like needles. I'm afraid. It's awkward. It takes time. I'm busy. Somebody else will do it. So here it is. Here's what I want to say to you. Most of us never really think about it because it's not on our radar. We don't have a person that needs blood. So what if I were to tell you, Ashley, and I'm not confessing anything negative over you, by the way. Okay. What if I were to tell you that Ashley, she needs a blood transfusion? It's doable, it will help her, practically, and the condition that she has is solvable, but you're going to have to go through your own awkwardness, your own maybe uncomfortable with maybe needles or presenting an invitation or something like that, but you could help her if you were to give blood. Now, this is Ashley, okay, office administrator, a great woman of God. Now, how many of you are willing, all over our campuses right now, if you're willing to give blood to help Ashley, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. There we go. There we go. Look, there's people all over. You can't even see all the people on all the campuses. They're raising their hand right now. Okay. Now, how many of y'all that made your day? It did make your day. It touched your heart. Let's give Ashley a great big hand. Very good. Thank you for helping her. See, this is what happens. We fail to see people. We fail to see people in our lives with something that we could practically do. That's right, practically do. You have the ability, and we all have enough time, but we just have to put it into our schedule. What would it look like if we approach this next month, going into March, leading up to Easter, as if we all had one mission, and that's to give the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the cleansing blood of Jesus and help as many people as possible get the blood of Jesus, a real transfusion in their lives. How many of y'all think that would be a good idea right there? Yeah. But we have to be willing to be moved by compassion. Something happened inside of you when you saw Ashley here. That's right. That's what compassion is. It's deeply moving. Now, this is the kind of people in our world right now. They're confused and harassed. Do you know what that word really means? It means skinned alive. It means skin pelt. There are people in your world and in my world, they're being skinned alive by this world right now with worry, stress, pain, financial problems, relationship issues, job problems. They're getting skinned alive, and we have the ability to affect their lives. They're helpless. They're being thrown about here. So what are we going to get better at this year? What's 2024 going to be better at? We're going to get better at teaching in church, but not only that, with our connection groups and with our small groups and our growth track, we're going to get better at training in the Word of God, not just teaching. That means training people to take the Word of God and apply it to their everyday, ordinary lives. And also get better at preaching and declaring the kingdom of God in our world. Whatever part of the world you're in, that's where Jesus wants to go. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, Jesus wants to go there with you. That's where he wants you to be here. Then also healing. That's where we become fully devoted followers. We can deal with our past and get free to live in our future. We can get free to be who God's created us to be. Church, we're going to continue to get better at that. So when we give financially, when we give to missions, when we do all these things, it has the very core of what we see in Matthew chapter 9 right here. That's why all across Bridge City Church, we are asking all of you to join our leadership. And that's right, fill out these invest and invite cards. That's right. What we want to do is we are asking everybody to list people in your life, people that you see on a regular basis, write down their names, pray for them every day, and then simply invite them to come with you on Easter Sunday to meet Jesus in a really real way. We believe that if we will just all join our hearts together, pray, and see the people around us with compassion, that's right, the harried and harassed, and we're willing to go through that awkwardness, just like the awkwardness of needles, willing to go through that give up my busyness and just simply invite people, we believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's what Easter is all about. Come on, it's all about people far from God. It's about making heaven bigger and hell smaller. Will you join us? Will you be a part here? Because that's what we want to get better at, not only one day a year, but then afterwards, you're going to hear from your campus pastor in a few minutes, and we're going to hear how we together can get these instructions. We're going to pray. Every time that we serve in church, we are an answer to Jesus' prayer. Why do I say that? Why? Because he said, pray the Lord of the harvest in Matthew 9. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And at Bridge City Church, everybody who serves, everybody who's a part is a part of harvesting. Harvest is all about more people going to heaven and then becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. So I want to be an answer to Jesus' prayer. How about you? That's what I want to be, and that's what we can be when we serve. Every time we're giving financially, we're a part of harvest work and restoring lives. So here it is. I'm going to conclude here. Matthew 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. That's right, the exact same thing Jesus was doing a few verses earlier, he now gives to us. He says, I'm giving you authority now to go into your world and expand. He's giving us authority to go into our world so that more people can get healed. That's the same word that Jesus used of what he was doing, he gives to us. The same thing Jesus was doing, he wants us to be doing. That's right. And I believe in a church that's expanding. I believe in a church that's growing. I believe in more and more people that can be trained and equipped. But how are we going to do this? In verse 5 of Matthew 10, here's a key. Here it is. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. In just a few moments, you're going to be hearing about the instructions that each campus pastor has for you and your location. You've heard the big instructions from me, but this is what we're going to continue to do. This is why we sacrifice and give. But let me tell you, in 2024, we're going to get better at these things. In lost people crossing the bridge, people who are hell-bound becoming heaven-bound, crossing the bridge. Saved people pastored, because that's what Jesus said they needed, was a shepherd. Pastored people trained, and trained people mobilized. How many of y'all believe that is a vision and a mission worth investing in, worth becoming a part of, and worth serving? All over, let's give God a great big hand. I just want to thank you so very, very much for spending this time with me. Your campus pastor is going to come forward now and share with you specific instructions for your location.
Amen. How many of you are blessed by that? Some of you are probably like, wow, I didn't know I was going to come and see something like that today. Well, I'm glad that you were here, and I'm so glad that we not only had the opportunity to hear from our lead pastor, Pastor Rick, the vision caster and communicator that God has given to us as a gift to lead us into the future. But I'm so thankful that you're here today to hear of the amazing things that God has done. And so, like Pastor Rick mentioned, there's copies of our Bridge magazine, and in that is our year-end report. There is, you will see the financial breakdowns. We like Pastor Rick said, we are an open book church. You will see where those things went and how we were a blessing. You'll also see amazing testimonies in this as well. And so if you didn't get this in the mail, we have copies for you back at our connection point, so you can stop by there and grab one before you leave today. And if you didn't get one in the mail, then you can leave us your contact information there so that we can make sure that we're getting, you know, our mailings and our email stuff to you as well. And I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, to definitely check that out. And just the amazing testimonies. You know, I'm sitting there watching and I'm hearing Alyssa Sullinger, who was the one that said, I used to slide into the back, and I look over and here she is sitting right in the front. Come on, somebody. That's powerful. Hearing Amber's testimony and Pam's testimony and Lynn's testimony and so many other testimonies from people that don't attend our campus but are a part of our church. The first gentleman, Harlan, who shared about being shot. You know, one of the crazy things about that story is he said he got shot in April 2023 and he talked about how the guys from his connection group wrote letters in his Bible. I was in Harlan's connection group. Yeah, that was the semester I took a semester off from leading a group. And I said, I want to go to a connection group at one of our other campuses so I can get to be with my brothers and sisters there as well. And I remember hearing Harlan early in that group share about the things that he was going through and difficulties and struggles, and then hearing that he got shot, and then on New Year's Eve watching him get baptized. I mean, this is what you get to be a part of by being a part of Bridge City Church. And that whole connection group thing is so important. You heard Pam Velez, who shared, she gave a shout out to all of us introverts. Come on, somebody. And she talked about the importance of connection groups, and so many other people did. And so these are the amazing things that are happening and you get to be a part of and that have been happening. But what's going to happen next here? Well, you know, there's something, and I don't know if you caught it, but Pastor Rick mentioned early on some of the statistics, right? And you know what? I used to be one of those people that said numbers don't matter. I was a pastor, you know? But the reality of it is numbers do matter. People, we count people because people count to God. That's why we do it, right? We don't just want to bring home the same amount of kids we left the house with, but because God is our Father, we want to bring more brothers and sisters with us that don't know that He is their Father. We want to help people begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. But he talked about the salvation numbers and the baptism numbers. And we actually have in what we call our huddle room, which is also our next steps room, we have a board where we keep track of these numbers. We literally have a counter number thing on the bottom of that. And I don't know if you caught it, but the numbers Pastor Rick shared from 2022 to 2023, both of those salvations and baptisms were almost exactly double. And the crazy thing about that is this. At the beginning of 2022, when Pastor Rick began hearing from God about what God wanted us to do and believe for from 2022 to 2023, he said, believe for the double. Wow. See, we're not just doing a thing. We're partnering with God to see people grow and become what God has for them. So what are we going to do here? What's the big thing here, Pastor John, for North Braddock Campus 2024? Well, there is just one big thing, and from this big thing trickles so much. And the big thing, the big vision that we have for this year, and Pastor Rick mentioned it, but we are going to take our nursery, our kids, and our students' ministries to the next level because we don't believe that they're the next generation. We know that they're the now generation. And I shared this with some of our leaders before the worship experience, our A-team leaders that do such a good job every Sunday morning of serving and ensuring we can have a great worship experience. Teams that if you're not a part of, you can be a part of as well. But I talked about how the thing that will make a church die faster than anything is when you stop focusing on other people and only focus on yourself. See, and so many times it's about my comforts, it's about the music I like, it's about the, well, why did you move that? Why did you change that? See, and the thing that we have to remember, if you're under the sound of my voice right now, to one degree or another, you're already here. And that's great, and I'm thankful for that. But Jesus died for a lot more people than are in this room right now. And we want to ensure that we see those people come to know Jesus. And see, that's why focusing on our students and our young people is important. Frederick Douglass, some of you might have heard of him. He says this, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. See, I would rather introduce a child to Jesus and begin to disciple them before this world harasses and skins them alive. I want to be able to send them out into a world knowing that even if they're facing the worst trials of their life, they know that there is a God in heaven who loves them, who sent his son to die for them, and who put his Holy Spirit inside of them so that they can not just survive, but thrive in the world and help other people come to know that same God. And so I am fully committed, and I'm inviting you and asking you to be fully committed with me that not only just over this next year, but over the next 5 to 10 years, that we build and develop and staff the most dynamic kids and students ministry that we possibly can. So that means that we are going to be renovating our space. Right now, we currently rent a large portion of our building during the week, Monday through Friday, to a daycare, Kittyland 2 Daycare. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to assign a portion of the building. There's one long hallway over here. We want to give them that portion of the building so they have their own space. so that they can function there and do what they need to do Monday through Friday. But we are then going to take the next step and update all of our kids' rooms. We're going to work on our gymnasium area so that it functions not just as a gymnasium, because there's parties that happen back there. There's volleyball and basketball and all these things. But we want a place for our students, our youth, our 6th through 12th grade to come and to know and to meet Jesus. And that's why I'm so glad Tyler Kemper, our student coordinator for North Braddock, is here. Because currently our students go to White Oak and they're doing an amazing job over there. And that's Tyler's home campus. But you know what? We believe that God has called us to have students here, and we're going to see it happen. We're going to see our kids have a space that not only do they feel safe, but they have fun learning about Jesus, and they want to invite their friends to that space. We're going to create a space that when parents come in and they feel harassed and helpless. Look, my wife was on worship team this morning, so she had to come in earlier than me. So I had to get our 12-year-old, our 10-year-old, our 1-year-old, and the 46-year-old ready. And I was harassed and helpless. Tobias saves his best bowel movements for whenever I'm on duty, pun intended. But you know what? I know what it's like to walk into this place as the pastor and feel that way. I want to create a space and an environment where people who have never driven onto these grounds and have to come up that staircase, walk down that hallway, that they're not wondering if they've walked into the right place or not. That they know the moment they drive into the parking lot and meet our amazing usher team led by Dave Escarcega. And then they meet our amazing welcome team led by Dave's wife, Lindsay. And then they get to meet our Next Steps team, Jace and Gloria Ransom, Evan Fisher, Karen, Annie, and all of you amazing people as we congregate. And they can get a cup of coffee at our cafe and get their kids checked in, and they can come in and hear about the same God that their children are hearing about in a way that helps them both grow and come together as a family, and they can go out into the world and make a difference, because our world is harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and I know we can do something about it. And so that's where we're going to focus. But we're going to need laborers. We're going to need people to buy it, and we're going to need people to build it. We're going to need people to staff it, and we're going to need people to support it. And right now, if you haven't heard yet, this is your recruitment invitation. We need more kids workers in our nursery ages 0 through 4, and in our BC kids ages 5 through 5th grade, and in our Bridge City students ages 6th grade through 12th grade. We need more people back in those places, not because we're just worn out, but because we want to make a difference in the world by changing a child's life before they become a broken adult. And I'm inviting you to participate in that with me. Well, I'm not good around kids. Well, you know what? We'll find something you are good at. But I'm believing right now, under the sound of my voice, that there are people that God is tugging at your heart. And he's saying, yes, you need to be a part of that. Yes, you need to do whatever it takes to get on that team. Yes, you need to do whatever it takes to make sure that the resources are available to build that space out. And I just got word from Pastor Rick this morning. In April, we're actually going to be having a builder come to look at our space and to look at a piece of property that the White Oak campus is possibly going to buy. But you know what? I want to make his job easier, and I've already spoken with some of you that are in the room. Help me, help us make that space the most amazing space that we can. Because I don't know if you noticed, there are babies popping up all over the place, and I don't believe that God is done. Listen to me. When God spoke to us about taking a step of faith, we had a 11-year-old and a 9-year-old at the time. Actually, no, they were 10 and 8. God spoke to me at our Christmas Eve candlelight service about having another child. And he said, here you are. You're aggravated with the state of affairs of the world. But you won't bring godly children into it. He said, you're selfish. Because you know why? Another kid was going to upset the comfort zone. And trust me, he has upset the routine. But that's what life does. New life, vibrant life. And I believe that God spoke to me at that moment. Because I know there are people, even all throughout our church, believing God for children. And I believe that God said this, if you take this step of faith, I am going to bring such a wave of new babies into this place that it will blow your mind. And you know what? I'm already seeing the trickle, but God's about to give the outpour. I'm going to have my wife come up here because she is our Bridge City Kids coordinator, our Bridge City Children's admin who oversees both, you know, our BC Kids and our BC Nursery. She's actually with her husband, Ben, who's on our worship team and on our production team. They're at our Murraysville campus, jumping in there on worship today. And so I'm going to have my beautiful wife, the lovely Miss Christine, the one who has raised 4 amazing children, the 3 that are minors and me. To share her thoughts on this new vision for our kids.
We are passionate about our kids. We are passionate about our kids' ministry. These guys matter. And John's kind of said it before, but one of the things I hate is I hate when people talk about how the kids are the future generation of our church. And it's kind of true. Like, the kids are going to take over. Some of us, we're getting old. We're getting tired. We're hoping that in the next 10, 20, 30 years, like, some of these kids are taking over some of these positions. But these kids aren't the future generation of this church. These kids are our church now. This is their church. And here at Bridge City Church, they matter. They're important. We value them. We love them. We care about them. And we want to see them become passionate followers of God. We want to see them learn about Jesus, come to know Jesus when they're 4 and 5 and 6, so they don't have to do it when they're 20 and 30 and 40. One of our visions here at this church is that these kids would become parts of the church right now. Like, we're not waiting until they're teenagers. We're not waiting until they're adults to try to get them involved. We don't want them to grow up and think that this is mom and dad's church. This is grandma's church. We want them to know right now that this is their church. And to do that, like, it's going to take us showing them that. We got to show these kids that they matter right now and that they are a part of things right now. So here we have a vision that the kids would be learning the Bible, that they would be reading the Bible, that they would not just be reading it, but they would be memorizing it and understanding it and growing to love it. We have a vision to see our kids giving. Back in our kids' room, we have an offering bucket, and every week our kids have the opportunity to bring their tithes and their offerings. And talk about cheerful, generous givers. Our kids show that. Our kids come in with their dollar bills and their pockets full of quarters, and they're like, Miss Christine, are we doing offering today? And they're so excited to drop that change in there. They're giving already. They're learning to give. Our kids are back there. They're learning how to pray. They're learning that God is their Father and that He's listening and He cares. They're learning to pray for others. We're going to see our kids praying for people and seeing them get healed. Here at Bridge City Church, our kids are learning right now what it means to serve. So on next Saturday when we do cleaning day, bring your kids and we'll have things that they can do. They'll be scrubbing the sideboard so we don't have to get down on our knees. Because our kids are going to serve. Our kids are the ones that are going to invite people. Our vision is to see them inviting their friends, inviting their family, inviting their neighbors. And we just want Bridge City Church to be a place where our kids love to be. I heard a story the other day about one of our kids that their family missed church on Sunday. And the little boy didn't realize until Tuesday. But on Tuesday, he was like, oh no, we missed church. We weren't there. Daddy, we got to go. We got to go to church. And that's our vision, that our kids would love being here, that our kids want to come, that they're dragging their parents to the church. But we need to make sure that that stays through 12 years old and 15 years old and 18 years old and 22 years old, because the Church of America is losing their young people. We're losing them to the world. And part of that is because they don't feel like this is their church. They feel like this is mom and dad. This is the grown-ups church. And so I hope you all join kids ministry, because it's amazing. And we need good teachers. We need people who love God and who will sacrifice and be back there. But I understand that not everybody is called to kids ministry. But everybody, or kids class, to be a kids teacher. But we're all called to kids ministry. And there are some specific people here in this church. Jeff and Kirsten Taylor, Ben and Bethany Pat and Addy, Gene Larson. These are people that I see every Sunday connecting with our kids, talking to them, asking them about their school stuff, asking about music lessons and stuff, and just making them feel a part. They're talking to them. They're getting to know them and making them feel like they matter here. And every single one of us in this room not only can be doing that, but we should be doing that. We should be getting to know our kids, investing in them, pouring into them. As these kids become teenagers, we can be asking them to go out for coffee. Do you want to go hang out? And doing stuff so that they feel like they're a part of our church, because they are going to take over someday, but they have so much to give right now. And we just love them. And you guys can be such a big part of just helping our kids to know God and to become fully devoted followers of God.
Amen. Well, stay up here with me. We are not a church that does adult services and provides childcare. We are a church that disciples children and provides adult babysitting. And so if discipling the next generation is not something that you foresee in your future, you might find it tough to stick around here too long. And I'm not telling you to go somewhere else. In the sense of a location, I'm telling you to look somewhere else in your heart and see if investing in the next generation is worth whatever cost you're going to have to pay to do it. Because I know that the answer is yes. And so just